Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. Go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry and share your thoughts on our program. The telephone number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 on the telephone keypad, that number again, 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take your calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. Of course, we are brought to you all from our wonderful sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Our primary sponsor is Miss Jane Flint, body worker and massage therapist extraordinaire. Now, normally, I tell you about my experiences with massage and how wonderful it is to have a professional massage. Apparently, some of you folks just aren't listening, so I'm going to get really down and dirty here. A good professional masseuse can do amazing things to your body, can make you feel incredibly good, can knock out stress that may have been there for months, weeks, or even years, can help you with old injuries and recovering from them and feeling better and more flexible afterward. They are truly one of our godsends in terms of healthcare. Now, let's talk about Ms. Flint for a moment. She sits at the peak of that pyramid. She is the apex of that pyramid. She is as good as they get. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Her phone number is 321-9030, area code 414. Again, area code 414-321-9030. Go in there and do your body and yourself an amazing favor. Get worked on by Miss Flint. She is amazingly good at her craft. She knows and has been trained in over 15 disciplines of massage therapy and body work. She is incredible. Get in there. Again, 414-321-9030. Okay. Well, it's been tough times here. What do you think, Nick? Where do you want to start? Where should we start?
Well,
should we talk about people who have left the planet first? And I'm sorry, I was unable to get to my computer. One of the fitness gurus and senior sprinters passed away. He was 97 years old and passed away in England after just doing a sprint run in preparation for a world senior contest.
Wow.
He was 98 or 97 years old. It died of heart failure. So what can you say about that? Well, he probably had 35 more good years than most people have. So if he passed away from a heart problem all of a sudden, bless him. You know, he had an incredible life. He had just finished running a sprint. He also was a weightlifter. He was involved in all sorts of other types of fitness work. If you looked at the man, he looked like he was about 68 years old. And he was, you know, straight as an arrow. He could flex. He could do all sorts of things. He kept himself flexible. It was really nice. So I'm sorry that I've been remiss in getting his name out there. Perhaps Nick can poke around on the internet a little bit while we're doing the show and see if he can find him. Beyond that, you want to tell us about any of the other folks who have passed on?
Yes. Also departing us, Aaron Moran, who played Joni Cunningham in...
Yeah, that would be Moran, Aaron Moran.
Aaron Moran in Happy Days. And yep. Reports after an autopsy says that she may have had stage 4 cancer and complications of stage 4 cancer, but she 56 years old.
Wow.
Kind of short, but
yeah,
certainly left a mark on culture and Johnny Loves Chachi.
It gets stranger and stranger with the number of people that are departing from us. Yeah, that's due to us having a burgeoning population. It's due to a lot of things, but it's a very odd feeling when you start outliving people around you. And you can understand what some of the writers who have incorporated that idea into their writing, the wisdom behind some of it, saying that you start to feel like a vampire. You know, you're losing your friends, you're losing your family, and all that was close to you and dear to you is just sort of evaporating. And I read a thing that said in the near future everyone will live to 150. Well, first of all, that's really doubtful. Second of all, I don't know how we're going to keep the body together for that long because it's just not built for it. It just starts to break down, you know. At a certain point, it's just too much wear and tear. The next thing is, the lady who was the oldest person in the world, provably, died this last week. She was 116 years old. About a week before, the other lady who was the oldest person, she was 118, she passed away. Well, then the gentleman passed away in Indonesia who they claim was 146 years old and that they had records for him. People, including myself, are somewhat doubtful of that. He was still mobile, you know, he could still get around, walked with a walking stick, and apparently foresaw his demise and said that it was time for him to go, and he just stopped eating and stopped drinking and passed away. However old he was damn old. It would be interesting if we had some way of proving his actual age, because he would be the oldest person ever to have lived, if that was accurate. He outlived four wives and most of his children. So,
wow.
Interesting. Interesting guy. Yeah. What he must have seen.
Another person he's probably seen a lot is someone who also is departed Southern rock legend Colonel Bruce Hampton, the king of jam bands. And he collapsed
on
stage.
He's the one I told you about.
Yep, he collapsed on stage at the end of his 70th birthday concert in his honor on Monday. Turned 70 on April 30th on his birthday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another person who was there playing with him was Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Bob Thornton was at that show playing with him. There were a number of fairly famous individuals at that show. But he, you know, passed on doing what he loved. So I guess that has to be the upside of it all.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of segues into our, you know, things that we've been talking about, age and aging, biology versus chronology.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good examples and a lot of that out there.
Right, then you had the two extremes there, a guy who at 70 just dropped, and another man who at 97 was still running sprints and, you know, working out like crazy. And, yeah, he dropped, but, boy, he had a lot more years, and he was in very good shape. So he was able to enjoy those years.
Something that's also interesting, you know, the woman died at age 56 of cancer. Someone told me, or I heard there was some report somewhere, this could be completely not even true, but someone said that evidence was collected that people who have a colic on their hairline, there's no reported cases of certain cancers with people who have that condition. How interesting is that?
Well, you know, they've made correlations about lots of things over the years. For instance, if you have a crease in your earlobe, you're supposed to be more susceptible to heart disease. I have a crease in my earlobe. I just had my cholesterol done the other day, and it was basically cholesterol of about a 25-year-old. Do I watch my diet incredibly carefully? No. I eat healthfully, but I don't watch my diet all that carefully. I eat well. I don't eat crap. But, you know, some of it's just plain genetics. There's no two ways about it. And the key thing, as you said, is effective lifespan, the chronology, you know, versus the biology. And effective lifespans are really interesting things, and we need to start studying those. Correlations can be made among almost anything you can imagine just by coincidence. So much of that stuff is, in fact, just coincidental. So it doesn't have great meaning. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I would be very cautious about believing something like that until I saw a lot more proof and a lot more statistics involved in it. One of the things I will mention here is that, as you know, Nick, I've done a lot of work in the field of nutraceuticals and that sort of thing. And we are really getting close to getting a handle on many different forms of cancer with nutraceuticals. And that's something we'll talk about on another show. But the other side to that coin is we're getting a lot more cancer. So, you know, the bad news and the good news. The other thing that I would let me ask you a question. Who's the oldest person in your family currently?
I would say my 96-year-old grandmother.
Okay. So she's up there. What kind of shape is she in? I don't mean to be
challenged. She's in good shape. She's mobile. She walks with a walker. She likes YouTube. She likes to play Grateful Dead on YouTube. I mean, this is the last time I saw her. You know, what do you do with your time to stay out of trouble, Grandma? And that's what she does. And she sits on her porch and says hi to neighbors walking by. You know, and she used to. Yeah, I mean, she can't take long trips in the car anymore. That's not so much, but she's got her wits about her. During the election, she was very, very vocal on Facebook. Grandma was sharing a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
So,
good for her.
And her mind, well, and her mind is there. She's sharp and she knows what she's talking about. So I'm hoping I get, you know, and that's on my mom's side.
Yeah. Well,
outside of that, on my mom's side, the only person we've really lost in the immediate family, my uncle, pancreatic cancer at 60. So outside of him, you know.
Well, that's a bad one, too, because nobody recovers from pancreatic cancer.
Right. My dad's side, my dad was adopted, so there's almost no history on my dad's side, other than I know he had hemochromatosis, and that was, you know, Irish blood disease, too much iron.
Outside
of that, which that in itself can lead to, I understand, can lead to a whole bunch of cancers, and cancer finally
cancer,
just...
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what it was, and then the cancer spread everywhere, and just, you know, so, but that may be an anomaly and not something I necessarily have to worry about, but, you know, I do watch my iron intake and kind of curb the red meat. Chicken and fish is good, but, you know, I noticed, too.
Stop
with
chewing on staples.
Yeah. I've noticed, too, when working out regularly and then taking a break for whatever reason, sometimes you get allergies or get sick or whatever, you fall out of the habit temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed nerve pain from muscles like tensing up, and I went to the chiropractor and she said, man, your chest muscles and all these muscles are tighter than they otherwise would be, and I think it was because I wasn't working out enough. And but you know, it causes nerve pain and things like that, and just dealing with any sort of basic pain on a regular basis will make you feel old and worn down and make you feel less likely to want to be active, you know, when you can't, you know, bend your arm a certain direction to pick something up without getting a zing, you know, because there's a nerve pinch somewhere. You know, I think of people who have, you know, more, you know, significant ability issues and concerns and how difficult it really is for them to be fit and stay active, you know, which is so important.
That's very true. Let's move on here, and I'll just put my last 2 cents worth in. I asked you the question about longest survivor in your family. I've got one right now that's 112. No, 113. Just turned 113, so there's some pretty serious longevity on that side. My mom's 105. So anyhow, off we go into other places, things, times, and what have you. What other topics were we going to talk about tonight, Nick?
Well, the lack of work ethic cost, the expense and the cost on companies. And,
what are we going to do? Tell me, what are we going to do? Give me a solution.
You know, there has been such a push for people to be flexible, so flexible with the needs and demands of employees. And culture,
that's such a culture euphemism.
Shifts. I mean, the culture has shifted to one where some young folks, you know, I know people who hire and have people who work in retail, for example. And so these people will work and they'll turn in their schedule, and their availability is, you know, only when it's convenient for them, and you have to schedule around their availability. And if you can't, so you've got all these different people with all these different availabilities, and, you know, and then they want off for this and that, and they don't, you know, if they have something planned, or I watch whatever program during that hour, or I study or this, and they're not flexible with the employer, and the employer is, you know, has to decide, do I bend with this person's ridiculous scheduling parameters, or do I not have someone, you know, covering my store? And it's difficult for people.
Yeah, let me tell you an experience I had this last week. I had an employee who on the clock was chatting up a lady who was a merchandise salesperson. And this was about the third time I'd caught him doing something like this. And I walked up to him and said, I am not paying you to chat people up. Get back to your position where you should be. And as I walked away, he flipped me the finger, thinking that I didn't see him. Well, in truth, I didn't see him. One of the people who worked at the facility saw him and told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ultimate in cowardice, because when I confronted him, he lied. Then he lied again. Then he finally admitted he had flipped something off, but it was one of the people in the place. I was like, come on. You know, you get to a point where you just want to grab them and say, you know, you lying sack, you are just deplorable, awful, whatever words you want to use. No, I'm not trying to quote Hillary here. But it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. They feel that they are being put upon if they are in any way admonished or told that they're doing wrong. Incredible. It really is. One of the things that I will also tell you is that I had mentioned this before, but I worked with Journey, the band Journey, about a week ago. And they are better than they have ever been. Their new singer, the Filipino kid, who is a mimic, an amazing mimic, by the way. Journey is better than they've ever been. They really are. So if Journey comes to your town, go see him. Go see him. Boston is touring again. Pardon?
I was going to say we just have a caller who wants to jump in on things.
Sure. I'll get him on board, and I'll finish up with Boston is back out touring. Obviously, it's short one member. The last time I heard them trying to put the group back together, their voices were really not good. So it will be interesting to see if they have given up bad habits and cleaned up their vocals and do the great harmonies that they used to be able to do. So, caller.
Well, hello, caller 0619. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, good to hear you guys. I've been talking to you guys the last couple of weeks. Hope things are doing well. Hope you're surviving all of the rain.
Yeah, well, I've been wishing we had rain. We've been dry as dust. We've had 6 weeks of no rain. And in Florida, that is awful. We have had one wildfire after another, after another, after another. The crews are getting burned out trying to fight these things. And there's no rain in sight for the next week or week and a half. It is really bad. That whole state's going to burn. It's just terrible.
So, well, you're talking about work ethic and things, and I reminded me of two things real quickly. Among every team in the NFL that did the draft, the Packers head coach was talking about three of their draft picks. They're able to play multiple positions. I'm guessing wide receiver, tight end, this type of thing. And, you know, they can fill in to do things like that. They just don't have one job. And also, my son got hired by a Milwaukee Brewing Company, and he's still not actually hired by the company. He's working through a temp, but he's been trained on three different jobs so far. He's been there about 6-8 months. So, I mean, that gives him and them flexibility. So, you know, in some respects, employers are looking for multiple use employees. Where I worked before, I just retired 2 months ago, but the foreman's son, all he did was drive the fork truck and deliver parts. They never showed him any interest in doing anything else. There were 30 other jobs that he could have done, learned to do, you know, without any great skills, but they never pushed him to do anything. They always let him do nothing.
Well, there you go, and there you have it. Yeah. Nick? Nick?
It's,
are you still there?
I mean, cross-training, yeah. I was just thinking about there's a lot of positions.
No, that's called
cross-dressing,
Nick. That's different.
No.
That's different.
But there's a, you know, we have a municipal court clerk, and there's not always stuff that person's doing, and so they're training her to do the other city secretary stuff as well, so there's a backup in there. You know, because the problem we had another city secretary that we lost, and when you have some of those key positions, and you lose, it's not always easy to, you know, plug and play and replace some of those people. I know, you know, my brother works in recruiting and hiring people at a water restoration and staffing place, and just finding good employees, and especially employees who can pass a drug test, you know, and
find one of 10 people that can pass a drug test. Yeah.
I mean, it's a concern, an issue. And sometimes these people, you know, they're going out into people's homes, and I mean, it's tough. So, you know, and there are times when you have some of those key positions, and if you can't find someone, your team is going to get shut down. So I think it's great for people to, even if they're not going to really do that other job, to step in and, you know, be able to assist and work as a substitute, instead of just saying, you know, like our caller saying, somebody said, I only want to do this, I only want to do that. My brother had a dispatcher who said, nope, I just only, or not, it wasn't dispatcher. I think he was doing something cleaning or, you know, cleaning the warehouse or something. And the guy had no motivation to do more, and they wanted to send him out on jobs and this and that and help the fire and water techs. And the guy had no interest in doing that, and they ended up getting rid of him. You know, why would you want someone in your company who shows no interest in learning the rest of the company? I mean, that's where you can advance. You know, the more you know about all aspects of an operation, the more valuable you are. And I don't understand why people don't seize that opportunity. Some people are just fit to be stuck in that one position. Now, what happens if they lose that job? replacing something like that that's been so easy and comfortable for so long, it might be harder to do than people realize. You know, you need to be a go-getter out there.
Well, I was raised in a machine shop where, in the beginning, when I started there, there were no automated machines. This was back in 1971. And as time grew on, they did get some. But, you know, I started as a floor helper, then a four-truck driver, turret lathe operator, centerless grinder operator, drill press, milling machine. You were able to learn. They had job openings, and you could advance yourself and learn new skills. And if somebody was sick, you could do their job. And if you get laid, you know, I got laid off, so I, you know, in today's, everything is CNC today, so there's very few manual machine jobs. So, you know, when I got laid off, my pickings were slim to none. But if, you know, you get emails from headhunters, 90% of them plus are all CNC machines. And, you know, you, if you learn that nowadays, you can go anywhere.
Well, we definitely need machinists. There's no two ways about it. We need all kinds of skilled labor. So that we don't turn this into the most boring show we've ever had, what do you say that we spice it up a little bit, Nick? You ready?
All right. Sure.
All right.
Is it Terry's
joke? This question is for you. Okay. Where was the strangest place you ever had sex?
Strangest place.
Mm-hmm. Strangest place.
I'm thinking on that one.
Come on, we got to have a little current interest in the show here tonight.
Really? Nothing. I mean, nothing going. Out. I mean, back of the Suburban? I mean, that's not that strange, though.
It is if it's somebody else's Suburban and they don't know about it.
Yeah, that's a true thing. You know, outside the truck. I mean, that's not that strange. I mean, no interesting. Like in public in a movie theater, like at the watching Ghostbusters or whatever. Nothing like that. No airport bathroom or
popcorn surprise. Anything like that.
Boring life. Boring life, you know.
Wow.
Us conservatives just no good stories.
Let's ask our caller.
So
caller, give us an answer here.
An ex-girlfriend's father's barn surrounded by horses.
That's cool.
How did you know the difference? Never mind. I won't go there.
Much smaller buttocks area.
Okay.
How about you, Terry? What kind of adventures are you willing to share with us?
Oh, I'll share just about anything, as you well know.
Should I remind you of one that you mentioned, something about a trampoline?
Yeah, but that's not that strange. Just gives you a little extra fun.
In the middle of Wisconsin, it knows the what's a little bit, you know.
One place that I will not recommend to other people for a number of reasons is 30 feet underwater. The pressure does some weird things to you and causes some things that you don't want, including some odd cramping. And the girls have a hard time with it too, because the pressure does some unusual things to their tissue. So anyhow, don't do it 30 feet down. And if you do, you better be ready for some unusual results. That's all I got to say.
Oh my god. Maybe there's a book to be written.
There might be. Yeah, there's still a memory of a place called Blonde Rock down in the Virgin Islands that was about 30 feet deep. So,
should I ask what cramped?
What cramped?
Yeah.
Actually, leg muscles cramp on you.
Okay.
The blood starts going away from your legs to try and make up for where it needs to go, and you start getting leg cramps, and they're not fun. Especially 30 feet down. Oh, Lordy.
You know, I'm imagining the search and rescue people being like, you know, we had otherwise things to do today. Just drive up and down the beach, not deal with these idiots.
Yeah. I will tell you one that was just utter stupidity, and it did not have anything to do with me. It had to do with a friend of mine who lived up in Minnesota. And I drove up to visit him, and this was prearranged. He was expecting me. I get up to his house. He doesn't answer the door. I check the door. It's open. I go into the house. Nobody there as far as I can tell. I finally get into the basement, and I hear this, oh. And there he is, laying in bed with his privates, about as swollen as they could possibly be, and just a horrible, horrible rash all over. Well, he had decided to go au naturel in the woods with his girlfriend, and they laid down in a bed of poison oak. It was not good. Yeah, it was not good. It took him weeks to come out of that one. He was one of these people that just did dumb stuff. And somehow he survived, but man, he paid a huge price at times. So
wow.
Are we ready for music or what?
I think so.
Yeah, we need to learn something today. So we're going to talk about The Teacher, Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull.
Why?
Trotel. Most people think that that's the name of the vocalist. It's not. It's Ian Anderson, with a marvelous guitar player that's been with him throughout his career, Martin Lancelot Bear, tremendous guitar player, very much overlooked when people are talking about great guitar players. So, what's next on our list, Nick?
Oh, well, of course, it's Alien Big Cats in Australia.
ABCs, Alien Big Cats. That is a designation that cryptozoologists use to talk about the sightings of what appear to be leopards or panthers or pumas. And the sightings happen all over the place. And they're relatively frequent sightings in Australia. Now, there are a number of explanations for these cats. Alien does not refer to the fact that they're coming from outer space. It means that they've come from another place, another country. They don't belong there. They're technically an invasive species. But what are they? They have yet to actually catch one in England. There are supposedly at least a dozen of these things running around in England that they've yet to catch. However, finally one was caught in Australia. And it was, right around 50 pounds. It was the size of a small leopard and quite lengthy, all black, but it didn't look anything like a leopard. So they did the DNA, and they found out it was a house cat. Then they realized what was happening is that giantism occurs when house cats get back out into the wild. And they actually, after two or three generations, start to get much, much larger than they were before.
Huh.
And that may be where a lot of these reports are coming from. Yeah, it is kind of weird.
The tail is longer, too.
Yeah, I'm going to segue into another cat story. This past week, the bay cat of Borneo, a very, very rare animal, was finally captured on film and proven to still exist. There was some fears that the bay cat was extinct. It was only known from a couple of animals. They live in the deepest forest in Borneo. Very unusual cats. They have quite a small head. They look something like a jaguarundi, if you know what a jaguarundi is. A small South American, Central American cat. They got him on a game camera, and they've got a bit of footage of him walking and moving. Very unusual movement to that cat. So it's nice to know that at least one more species didn't go the way of the wind at the hands of mankind, although these guys are certainly sitting on the precipice. There can't be many at all left. So there. We've talked about our cats. Where do we go from there?
We had a cat, a parking lot cat, at the, it was so fancy. we stayed at the Motel 6 in Corpus Christi for a while. My mother had a room, I had a room, my brother had a room. We literally ran the hallway, and it was funny because I'd only said we were down in Corpus Christi on Padre Island, and I've only stayed on the island. I've never really stayed inland. I don't really know much about what's going on there as you cross the bay and go back up the road. But I looked at the price, and I said, hey, that's a good price. I said, we're going to budget for eating and drinking well and cheap on the lodging because you don't need to hang out in the hotel room. You just throw to sleep, shower, and change clothes. So I'm thinking, let's save some bucks and just get one of these basic deals, you know. And, were we the minority. But there were cats all over the place. There were a lot of animals. A few cats who seemed to, live around the area hunting and cruising around at night. But more fun than that was the potbelly pig that they brought to the pool. And it was just a fun time. Yeah. It was 80% Hispanic at this hotel. And a lot of our neighbors were day laborers whose companies put them up You know, they're working jobs. So, you know, they said, my boss puts me up at this Motel 6 to basically mm-hmm. live out of here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few people who are like locals, and, you know, everyone hangs out by the balcony outside the hotel room. And it was
right.
It sort of looked like the projects, but it was fun. And we talked, you know, and you got to meet a lot of nice people and fun people. And with this one lady brought the potbelly pig to the pool. My mother says, she's, you know, I can't believe there's a potbelly pig at the pool. And, you know, here comes the lady who's the manager, like, from the front desk. She's like, oh, they're in for it now. And the lady from the front desk comes over. Is that a pig? And they're like, yeah. She's, oh, it's so cute. You know, and everyone was a fan of the potbelly pig at the pool. But, you know, to different cultures and different folks. And we ran into and talked to a lot of Hispanic people the whole weekend. And, you know, there were... I'm just kind of like putting out an ad there for talking to people you might not otherwise normally hang out with, you know, getting outside
mm-hmm.
your social group
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just watching them play. And the thing is, the kids were playing in the parking lot and they were playing football and they were playing, you know, throw this and catch this and, you know, whatever, all sorts of little games and something where they had little lawn dart things, but they weren't lawn darts, but, you know, throw for the
mm-hmm.
target. And they're outside playing, and a whole bunch of them, brothers and sisters. And, you know, my mom was like, I wish they would go in the rooms. I want to go in the pool. There's like 30 kids in the pool, you know, but they're all having a good time. Well, you know, where are the spoiled white kids? Where are they? They're, you know, sitting stuff in their face in a device or a video game. They're not outside getting exercise and playing, you know, I just thought that was, it was a fun time, but. The beach was good. Found a lot of good food. I've been down there before, scoped it out, kind of have some of my favorites, but kind of got into asking bartenders this time where the best places to eat were. And, you know, you can go on all the reviews you want on the internet, but there's no, you could tell, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down on this place. You ask the guy, he's like, don't go there. It's just a tourist. Gross. You know, the food's bad. Go over to this
mm-hmm.
oyster bar place. And it was a bit off the beaten path. And it was all pretty much local people there. And they had a lady playing guitar. She was, you know, and, you know, live music and good atmosphere and great food. The guy was, you know, cracking crabs that he'd caught that day, you know. So, I mean, and
mm-hmm,
oysters
mm-hmm.
and everything. So it was really cool. You know, always ask the locals. Ask the bartenders particularly know about, like, food and drink and what's good and what's bad. And one of the cool things on our trip was they had Texas Sand Fest, which is a event that people come, sand sculptors come from all over the globe, and they're out there during the weekend, and they had some really incredible sand sculptures, and you watch them, and they use a trowel, you know, for like concrete shaping. Yeah, trowel.
That's a trowel.
And... yes, and, you know, spritzer with water and what, how do they get the sand that way? And, you know, it was windy, and you never know if it's going to rain or what the weather's going to be, but, you know, watching them out there sculpting these sand, and some of them are very intricate in castles and, you know, with flying buttresses, and how did that not fall? You know, it's amazing what they
mm-hmm.
do with these, what they do with these things and some of the artistic and creativity that goes into it, you know, so it was impressive. Sand sculpting is very cool.
Well, guess what? We're going to bring back a segment. Caller, are you still with us? Hello?
Still
Did
here.
Run away?
No, I'm
oh,
still
you're
here.
Still there. Okay. All right, pay attention because there'll be a quiz on this in the morning. We are going to do our tool segment tonight. And tonight's tool segment will be on wrenches. Now, before anybody gets too excited, remember that this is probably going to have to be a three-part series because there are so many different types of wrenches. We will not include socket wrenches tonight. We will exclude those. So, caller... why don't
yes.
you start naming off what you know for wrenches, types of wrenches?
Open end, combination, adjustable, offset.
Don't fall down on us now.
It's a lot.
How about crowfoot wrenches?
Crescent wrenches.
Flare nut wrenches. How about service wrenches for hydraulic lines? How about swan neck wrenches? How about half moon wrenches? How about flex head wrenches? All sorts of flex heads that are available these days. Ratcheting wrenches.
Vice grips.
Ratchet built into them. Vice grips is not
what
a
is vice grips?
It's a pliers.
I know
it's a pliers.
Oh, all right.
Then we have wrenches for specialty items, such as fitting wrenches for air conditioning, and we have wrenches for doing brake work, for bleeding, bleeder wrenches.
A lot of automotive wrenches.
We've got starter wrenches for reaching around starters. And, come on, let's have a little help here, guys.
I am not. You covered all the ones I knew.
Plumber's wrenches.
Yeah, that's almost a separate issue on itself. The wrenches that plumbers use are very different things. Then you've got to go into basin wrenches and spigot wrenches, and oh my God, there are also strap wrenches that have a nylon or rubberized nylon strap to wrap around and use it to round items loosened up or tightened up. They can also be used on oil filter. Oh, there's
oil
one.
Filters.
Oil filter wrenches, huh? Okay. And there are also wrenches that are made specifically for certain types of fittings. And there we would use things like Allen wrenches or hex head wrenches. We also have star wrenches. We also have square drive wrenches, offset wrenches. How am I doing?
A square drive wrench or an Allen head. Okay, I guess it would be called a wrench.
That's what they sell them as.
That goes
that's
over,
what they sell
not
them
in.
As. Wrenches can go in or over.
Yep.
Got to remember that. They can go
yep.
in or think of sockets. You've got sockets that go over, and you've got sockets that go in. You can have a number 12 star drive that is a socket that goes over, or you can have a number 12 star drive that is a socket that fits in. And it depends upon the type of fitting that you're dealing with. You also have special wrenches for freeze plugs in engines. They're a square drive wrench. They're made specifically for freeze plugs in engine blocks. Let's see here. What am I missing?
Torque wrenches. I'm sure we covered torque wrenches.
Yeah, torque wrench. Good,
torque wrench.
Good call there. We've got battery terminal wrenches. Those are certainly different. And there are pass-through wrenches, which we'll cover with the sockets when we talk about sockets someday.
How about bicycle wrenches? Sockets. Did we say that yet?
Oh, boy, we could go on for a long time if we start getting into bike wrenches. Bike wrenches, you have specialty wrenches for the brakes. You have specialty wrenches for the cranks.
Spokes.
You have spoke wrenches, yep. I knew a guy who named his kid spoke wrench. I kid you not. I will say his name on the radio. His name was Frank Cablow, and he owned a bike shop. He and his brother owned a bike shop. Oh, Lordy. Names his kid Spoke Wrench. Yep.
He's a cousin of Frank Zappa's, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, Polish kid, Frank Cablow. Okay, so we've covered quite a few different wrenches here. And there's a whole
what
set of wrenches
brands.
Also. Brands, okay.
Good brands of wrenches.
Commonly today, let's put it this way, you are hard-pressed to find a quality wrench in a hardware store. Sears no longer makes quality wrenches. All their stuff is made in China. Sears has cut their both the number of types of wrenches and the availability of those wrenches down on nothing anyway. They used to have really good midline tools, and they're mostly just junk. Sad to say, because I own a lot of Craftsman stuff, but it's old Craftsman all made in the USA, and a lot of it was made by Crescent Tool Company, same ones who make the Crescent wrench. Other brands, Gear Wrench is very popular. They're an okay wrench, but again, they're made in Taiwan. Gear wrenches are one of the ratcheting types of wrenches. They also pass-through type wrenches.
Snap-on?
Yeah, Snap-on, I was going to save that for last. KD makes a few good tools yet. Snap-on certainly is probably the last holdout that makes a lot of their stuff here in the U.S. Who's the other one that goes around?
Milwaukee?
No. Milwaukee only makes power tools. Well, I shouldn't say that. They've now branched out into hand tools, but they're all made in China. Matco, that's the one I was thinking of. Matco is sort of mid-range. So they've got a little, you know, the Matco truck that goes around. The greatest selection and for the purist, the best stuff available these days is probably Snap-on. There are a few other companies like Mayhew Tool Company. Acme used to make some very good wrenches, no relation to the Coyote or Roadrunner.
Or anvils.
Yeah. Let me think here. I'm pretty soon I'm going to have to go overseas because I'm running out of decent companies here in the U.S. Very, very few things are made here anymore. And there are a number of really quality wrenches produced in Italy and also in France. Some very fine tools that are still available. If you buy a Maserati, you get a full tool set from one of the best of the Italian tool companies. And it comes in the trunk of your Maserati. How about that?
You don't get a jack with a flat tire, huh?
Yeah, probably not. Help me out. Can you think of any other brands? SK. SK was bought out. Now they're Chinese.
Is there ever a chance?
Carlisle. That's the
Is there
one.
Ever a chance that Chinese or Japanese would ever make good stuff, or is their stuff just always bound to be insufficient?
Well, the Japanese make some very good stuff these days. The Chinese, you know, there's some stuff that's okay. You go to Harbor Freight, you pay $10 for something, and you get your $10 worth.
Hopefully you get a $10 wrench.
Yeah. Hopefully it holds up long enough that you can use it. Another type of wrench is called a crocodile wrench. That's an unusual wrench. I think I did pretty well. Oh, I know. Open end socket wrenches. They have a socket on one end and an open end wrench on the other. It's got a flex socket on the other end of it. I forgot about those. And help me out here, guys. Anything else?
You're making me want to go get a job at Ace Hardware.
Spanner wrenches.
Yeah. Spanners. Pin spanners and otherwise. Those are unusual tools nowadays. Offset box wrenches. Another group of... That's one of my favorite tools, by the way, are offset box wrenches. And you've got stubby box wrenches and stubby wrenches in general. Short versions of the big guys.
I'm looking some of this up. I'm like, offset box wrenches. Let me see what that is. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm missing things, but I know, gland nut wrenches. GLAND, gland nut. That's for working on hydraulic stuff. And those are very odd tools. I actually have a couple of them.
No, I've never seen anything like that.
Hydraulic pistons. So, we've got our tool segment for tonight. We will continue another night with sockets and socket wrenches and ratchets to be used with them. Ratchets
are what kind of books have you been reading lately, Terry?
Oh, boy. Songs of the Dying Earth by a whole bunch of different authors. It was a tribute to a very wonderful fantasy and science fiction author named Jack Vance. And a group of authors got together and did a tribute book to him, a series of short stories based on his stuff, the things he did. Holly Lyle did a series of books that I'm reading right now. Cast for Fire. I have not been reading as much as I usually do. Venomous Snakes of Venezuela is another book that I've been reading. It's a brand new book, beautifully done. It was a gift from a young gentleman who works with me. Reptile Life. It's a very, very old book. And it was done in the late 1800s. Another book that I've been perusing. Some of the not particularly interesting for the rest of the folks. Laboratory Test Handbook. They just published a new one, and I've been brushing up a little bit in there. Was reading a book on tarantulas. Relatively new book on the African tarantulas known as baboon spiders. Things like that. Autoimmune Disorders, that's another book that I've been reading. Problems in Veterinary Medicine, that's another one that I've been reading. So, there you have it.
I hope you live in one of those areas. Do you have any neighbors who have one of those take a book, leave a book things? I saw that in my neighborhood.
They're great.
They
are great.
Yeah.
Smart.
Go to half price books, buy some stuff. You're like, the selection may be small, but yeah.
It's there, and kids can take them, people can take them, and they can enjoy. So if you have extra
make sure not to take the wrong book that has the pages missing where people leave the money and the guy comes by and puts the weed in the book and then you come by check the book out.
Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crankcase oil. You got 90 seconds to talk about crankcase oil. Go.
Oh, boy. Well, I was going to talk about the designations on the oil, which mystify most people when you have 10W30, 5W40, all the rest of
it. Right.
And manufacturers tell you immediately that they will void your warranty if you don't put exactly the right oil in there. Well, you know what? It ain't that important, guys and ladies. There is one oil that is sort of a universal donor. If you can't figure out what kind of oil you should put in, use 10W30, you're safe, you're okay. You might not get the best mileage out of it, but you're fine. All these exotic oils that they've got out there now, including these 0W30 or 0W20 oils, which, I mean, use your head. If it's got a coefficient of friction that's zero, it's not protecting your engine too well at that point, is it? And they're doing these zero oils to try and get better mileage and be able to boast that, you know, they got another mile to the gallon over their competitor in the fuel race. The oils they come in natural oil, which is, you know, out of the ground, synthetic oils and semi-synthetic oils, and oils that are mixtures of synthetic and regular oil, blends as they call them, synthetic blends. Realistically, I would like to see the proof that the synthetics are as good as they claim they are, because they're like three times as expensive. And a lot of the cars these days call for synthetic oils. You know, there are some very good oil additives out there, which the manufacturers always tell you you're not supposed to use. Things like Lucas oil treatment, Tough Oil, which is a micronized Teflon product that really, really works. You can use it in machine tools. You can use it in your car. They use it in jet engines. It's the only oil additive that's ever been approved to be used in jet engines. It really drops the coefficient of friction quite low. The Teflon is micronized so fine that you can even, if you have to, you can pour it in your gas tank and run it through your engine that way. I'm not recommending that, by the way. And whatever you do, don't ever put it in your transmission. Your transmission will never work again, unless it's a manual transmission. If it's a manual transmission, then by all means, add some Tough Oil. But automatic transmission, it just ruins it. Plain and simple. Nothing can grab. Nothing can stick. It just doesn't work anymore. So anyhow, the numbers on the oil, zero being the lightest, and 90 or even up to 120 being the thickest or heaviest. Usually those are what are called hypoid gear lubricants. Those usually go in the back end of your car, in the pumpkin, the differential reservoir. So I guess that's all the time we got.
Yeah.
I'll do a better job on oil some other night.
All right, guys,
ladies.
Until then.
Talk to you soon.
Night,
thanks,
y'all.
Everyone. All right.
Hell No the Radio Show.